Grace to you and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 24th of August. I'm Paul White. We are starting the seventh chapter of 1 Corinthians today. We spent yesterday on Long Form Friday. I would encourage you. I know when you look at the time and you only have so much time in your life and you see that it's about an hour, you might go, well, I don't have time for that. And I get it, but it's one of those podcasts I think you could stretch out over a few days. We answer several different questions and go into several areas from our trip to South Carolina. And so Long Form Friday's there waiting on you from yesterday. I hope you'll take advantage of that. And I like to keep you abreast of the sermons that are coming on our Sunday drop. We do a Sunday long sermon. This is something from the road. And we put those on all of our platforms. And I like to let you know, and I try to do better than letting you know on Saturday. I try to let you know a little bit earlier in the week. But anyway, forgive me for waiting so long. Tomorrow, available on all of our platforms, will be a sermon from Hesperia, California, from the New Beginning Christian Center with Pastor Mark Angel. He had us in at the beginning of August, and we did a sermon that's titled The Present Reality of Rest. And I had a lot of fun at Pastor Mark's. I enjoyed digging through Hebrews in this sermon, and I'm back in Hebrews on a daily basis working on the study guide material. I'll keep you up to date on what's happening there, but I hope you enjoy that sermon tomorrow. Check it out, The Present Reality of Rest. 1 Corinthians 7:1, now concerning the things of which you wrote to me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Well, I want to take some time today and set this chapter up. You can already tell, based on the context of where chapter 6 ends, those chapter breaks are ours, not Paul's, but you can tell that Paul is talking about sexual immorality. He's been talking about a fairly specific form of sexual immorality, namely sleeping with prostitutes, but in a general sense, fornication itself. Now, he turns the discussion towards marriage. To properly understand what's happening, and let me slow down even there. I'm starting to get ahead of myself. This is the longest discussion of sexuality in all of Paul's letters, and the information in it is vital. But because we don't understand the circumstances around it, I think we've messed up some very valuable teaching. And there have been those who have taken this to an extreme that is out of its time, place, and setting. And also, I would say this, for those whose eschatology is futurist, that all of the end time stuff is in your future, not your past, this chapter should give you pause about getting married and starting a family. Because for your eschatology to be in the future, this passage would speak very relevant to you. This is a passage to me that should cause you to rethink your eschatology. Because if what Paul says in this chapter, which does fall, no way around it in my opinion, it does fall within an eschatological framework of the first century, then it would fall within an eschatological framework for you if you believe the end times are in your future. In other words, whatever Paul says to them in their end times would apply to you in your end times and therefore should be heeded. And if we heeded it, the population of the earth would plummet because we would stop getting married and having children. And I want to explain over the next several days why I don't believe that's the case, because I believe that the eschatological framework of this chapter was in the very near future of the Apostle Paul and the other disciples of the first century. So, with that said, I want to flash forward a little bit in the chapter because context is king, and it takes several verses to find the true context of this chapter. And that verse, I think, is verse 26. That's way up there. I suppose, way up there based upon the fact that we're in verse 1, that's what I mean. I suppose, therefore, that this is good because of the present distress, that it is good for a man to remain as he is. That verse tells you that the reason Paul has been writing these instructions, injunctions about marriage is because they are in a present condition in which you should reconsider some things. A present condition, by the way, that I don't think you and I are in. And this is a classic moment of audience relevance coming to bear in our understanding of a text. The New King James says, I suppose that this is good because of the present distress that is good for a man to remain as he is. I think a little better word than distress is closer to the Greek is the word crisis. That this is good because of the present crisis that we are in. What is the present crisis that we are in? Well, here's a little peek as to the framework of the crisis. Verse 29. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. Verse 31, for the form of this world is passing away. If you take those two thoughts, and there are others and we'll get to them as we go, but if you take those two thoughts, that the time is short and the form of the world is passing away, that seems to help describe the present crisis. That's sort of an eschatological, almost 30,000-foot view. But let's get down to what I like to call the 3-foot view. Zoom in. What's going on in Corinth? Well, we don't know based upon the text, really. We do have that present crisis verse. But if we look outside, and we have plenty of archaeological and literary evidence that tells us that in the mid part of the first century AD, there was a severe food shortage in Corinth. Food shortages usually are accompanied, and in this case I think would have been, by a lot of panic and riots and uncertainty. We have found archaeological, I told you there's archaeological and literary evidence, well, we found literary evidence because of archaeology, of 11 inscriptions to the same person who was in charge of the grain supply of Corinth. We've uncovered that those food orders. And that particular Corinthian grain supplier was an emergency grain supply. It was only used in times of famine. So we have 11 inscriptions to a grain supplier in Corinth that is the emergency supplier used only in famine, which tells us that the famine was so severe that they were turning to their emergency supplies repeatedly over and over again. Tacitus writes that there was many earthquakes and many famines in that part of the world in that day. Now, what you, as a good Bible student, know is that the first century apostles were taking the words of Jesus in Matthew 24 to heart, as they should. They asked him point blank, when's the sign of your coming and what's the end of the age? And Jesus told them a bunch of things that they would see in their, they would begin to see before the end of it all. And some of those things, Matthew chapter 20, verse 24, verse 7, nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famine and pestilence and earthquakes in various places. Matthew 24, 19, woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. Those are two injunctions you need to keep in mind when you read this seventh chapter. Because Paul and the other apostles believed that they were living inside of an era that had been divinely prophesied. They believed that the questions needed to be framed around an end of the world scenario. Here's the difference between, to me, here's the difference between a futurist, someone who believes in like a dispensational rapture, future tribulation, versus someone who believes that stuff is fulfilled. I think to be a futurist, you have to think that the disciples and the apostles simply thought they were at the end of an era, but they were wrong. Versus someone who believes this is in your past, you can frame this within the context of their time. So based upon a present crisis, there's famine. They've been warned, you don't want to be pregnant when you have to flee Jerusalem. So that was a pervading teaching of the early church is, look, you don't want to be caught trying to bring children into the world during this crisis. And so there was a refrain, but that was age-bound. That was not timeless. to take that command to be timeless would be that we stop procreating because we think we're at the end of the world. And believe you me, there have been people who have done exactly that. Stop procreating and go max out your credit cards because it's all about to be over anyhow. And that seems to be the most short-sighted and irresponsible way to function in the world. That sets the framework for the seventh chapter, and we'll start to dig into the verse-by-verse work tomorrow. See you then. God bless.